Jesus never takes volunteers. Rather, he is the one who initiates discipleship.
Dr. John Pless, author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for July, Luther's Small Catechism, A Manual for Discipleship.
Jesus is the one who confiscates the lives of those that he chooses through his word and makes of them disciples.
Learn more about this new resource, Luther's Small Catechism, A Manual for Discipleship, at issuesetc.org.
There are certain jobs, certain callings that men occupy, and you join a rather elite club. I'm speaking here not elite in terms of perhaps personality or income or anything like that, but few people occupy this position in the history, the long history of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. In fact, up to this point, only 13 men have done this job, and that's over the course of more than 150 years. Some of them have done it for a long time. Some of them have done it for a very short time. Pastor Matt Harrison is one of those men. He was recently reelected as the 13th president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He previously served as executive director of LCMS World Belief and Human Care and as a parish pastor in Iowa and Indiana. He's author of several books, including his latest, Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran? He joins us to talk about the joy of being a synodical president. Matt, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Hey, Todd, how you doing? Good to be with you.
Before we talk about the joys, what have been some of the burdens of being synodical president for the last 9 years?
Well, a pastor once recently told me, when I said you can't please everybody, he said, oh yes, a pastor can please everybody. He pleases some people when he gets there, he pleases some people while he serves, and he pleases the rest of them when he leaves.
So everybody over the course
everybody can be pleased over time. So I think that that is a challenge for me personally. I like to be on good terms with people, and I like to do things that please people. But, you know, when you have convictions that are born of the Word of God and the Lutheran Confessions, you're sort of, and you're bound to them, you know, those things trump personality, relationships, and everything else. I think those things are the greatest aid for relationships, because they remind us, they remind me that I am by nature sinful. I'm by nature a fanatic, as Luther says in the Small Called Articles. Original sin is such a deep corruption, it has to be believed. You can't even understand how deep it is, and that means me. And so I know my propensity to be a jackass is intense, and my need for repentance daily is intense, and my need also to be merciful and kind to those around me and those in the church who are going through all kinds of challenges and difficulties in life. So that's probably something that's pretty difficult.
9 years ago, in one of our many conversations, you said that this was the Lutheran moment. I don't know if you remember saying that, but what did you mean by that?
Yeah, I still believe it is. We have a great, and I think, ecumenical responsibility in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And people know us around the world. Believe me, they know us in Rome. They know what kind of relationship we have with the Wisconsin Synod in Rome. Benedict XVI, when he was on a visit to New York, met one of our district presidents and said, "Ah, the Missouri Synod." So we have an ecumenical responsibility to hold forth the scriptures and to bear witness to grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. That is our vocation and calling. There is salvation outside of Lutheranism. Thanks be to God. Wherever Christ is found and enough of his gospel is found to believe, we bear witness to the full gospel, every wonderful sacramental bit of it. And that is our ecumenical responsibility. And we live in a day and age when the church, Protestantism, has simply lost its reason for being. You know, after the wall came down, I saw an interview when I was in Wittenberg, a young woman who had gone to church throughout the entire period of the DDR in Eastern Germany, stopped going to church after the wall came down. And she was asked why. And she said, well, if the church doesn't stand for anything different than Greenpeace, why not just join Greenpeace? Why go to church? So for all our weaknesses, the Missouri Synod is still here and still confessing Christ. Thanks be to God.
What does a synodical president do? What does a typical day look like?
Come in late. Have somebody go out for lunch, leave early, you know.
Seriously.
Well, in the Constitution and Bylaws of Synod, it's probably mentioned a dozen times that the Synod president has doctrinal supervision, ecclesiastical supervision over all church workers, all districts, all educational institutions, the seminaries, and ultimately the church body. Now, we operate this in a very constitutional way with divisions of authority and chains and everything else, but that is a very significant challenge, and it takes daily attention. We get hundreds and hundreds of letters and correspondence about difficult situations. We have to evaluate those situations, most often refer them to district presidents, counsel with district presidents on those situations. Herb Miller has been a gift in this whole area. And then there's an administrative side too, and that means that basically the president of the Synod now, since the last 10 years, is administratively responsible for probably $40 million in program. So the president of the Synod is directly responsible for the performance of those divisions, for the administration of those divisions, for the theological integrity of missions, for the administrative integrity, for all of the national mission programs that go on, the chaplaincies, just one thing after another. And we have very capable people. You know, when this chief mission officer position was created 10 years ago, we joked that you'd have to have Jesus with an MBA to fill the requirements. But we found Kevin Robson, who's ordained and has got an MBA from the University of Chicago. And he's really excelling. I'm so proud of our staff. They are great, great people. And so we have all those issues day by day. We got the Synod president is the chief ecumenical officer of the Synod. So all issues that involve other church bodies, relationships, etc. The president of the Synod is the chief sort of representative over against government issues, along with the board of directors. The president of the Synod has a final say on whether we join with amicus briefs in cases that are before the courts. Many people don't realize this, but you may have religious freedom cases brought by Jehovah's Witnesses or who knows what, and the Missouri Synod often will join in those cases if we believe that they uphold the Constitution of the United States and religious freedom. That goes on all the time.
What have you learned about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that you didn't know before you took office that you can talk about?
That's interesting. I'll tell you this. I tell you, though we have in our history had sexual abuse and those things that go on in any human organization, we have dealt with those and we've not always dealt with them in the past. We've not always dealt well with them, not dealt perfectly with them in the present. But compared to what other churches have dealt with, particularly the Roman Catholic Church, it's a drop in the bucket. And I'm really proud of our zero tolerance policy, the Council of Presidents. I don't know, that's one thing that most people wouldn't know. I could tell you more, but the lawyers are over there going, no, don't say anything, say anything.
When you came into office, you obviously had some kind of picture of what you would be doing. Has that picture radically changed after 9 years? Did you have a good idea about what this job entailed when you started 9 years ago, as opposed to what you know now about being a synodical president?
Well, you know, I think God always uses your hubris to move you to another position you think you're capable of. And then he beats the snot out of you. And about right now, I figure I know less than ever.
Let's talk about the biggest joys that there are being. Well, Herb Miller, you know him well. He was my district president for, I want to say, 17 years, and a very dear friend. Always compared being a district president to being the stable boy. You just go in, and your job is to grab a shovel and muck out the stalls. And it's dirty work, but somebody has to do it. But there are joys in there, even at the level of synodical president. What have you found to be your joys?
several things. I have begun to learn how to pray. I've talked about this before. I visited Bishop Emeritus Shane in Berlin not long after I was elected, and I saw his kneeler, and the knees were, you know, on the leather were black from his kneeling, and his Bible was open to the Psalms, and you could see through the paper from the oil on the paper. He had candles on the side that were burnt over, and there was nothing left, you know, and I thought, oh, man, this put me to shame. And then I remember Hermann Zassa saying in private letters, I will put you in the diptych. That is the book that was on the altars in the ancient church where the names of the various bishops in which they were in communion with were placed. And I started also making lists, prayer lists, and just posting them on my kneeler. So every day I come into the office, and I travel a lot, and it's really tough to have schedules when I travel, but every day I come into the office, the kneeler just says, I built it, says, come over here, pray. And so, you know, after you go through the Psalms a number of times, and it's pretty interesting how the Psalms reflect reality that you're facing, and then also you see your prayer list, you see the answers God gives when you're praying for situations, institutions, people. I talk to so many people who are struggling, etc., of children who are in a difficult position, etc. I try to, whenever somebody asks me for prayer, I try to pray with them right there. But I think just being humbled. I think I've also learned that we are here but a short time. And it's a flash. And I think the longer I serve, the more insignificant I realize I am. The church is in the Lord's hands, and he will do with it as he chooses for his purposes.
You mentioned the travel. You mentioned you have to attend meetings, you have to be someplace, and obviously you have people who manage this for you, and eventually you're just like the person. You show up and say, where am I supposed to stand? Where am I supposed to be?
Yeah, I was just over at the Ministry of Armed Forces dinner tonight, and all of a sudden they introduced me because I was supposed to speak. Well, nobody told me that. But that happens a lot.
Okay.
So, you know, you just roll with it.
Meeting these people, the faces, the actual faces of the Missouri Synod, the pastors and the parishioners.
Yeah.
Have you been able to do more of that? Your previous job was dealing with disaster relief. And you would go meet people sometimes in their time of most dire need. But have you been able to do more of that rather than... What I would do if I was synodical president is just, I'm the kind of personality, I would eventually just isolate myself. You know, I'd show up like I do now. I'd show up, do what I got to do, and then get back on the plane and leave as quickly as possible and talk to as few people as possible. That's Jeff's job. But that's not your personality.
No, although I have become more introverted.
Really?
Yeah, I have. In fact, I don't like talking to you anymore.
Okay.
No, I have become more introverted, and I kind of relish downtime, but it's just, you know, the Missouri Synod, we have all kinds of, including my quirks and interesting people and cranky people, and we have all kinds of things, but we just have a marvelous group of folks that love Jesus and are just trying to do their best in their circumstances. And when you have people come up and say, I'm praying for you, I pray for you. You know, one time when I was a pastor in my first parish, this one elderly woman was lamenting that she had to leave her farmhouse and go live in an assisted living. And I chastised her for complaining and said, really, I hadn't listened to her, nor had I ever read the Psalms in any serious way. Or I kind of chastised her and said, well, the widow's job is to pray. I gave her law, exactly what she didn't need. And she said, oh, Pastor, I pray for you every day.
So what are your goals for the next 3 years?
The Missouri Synod has a confession. It's a glorious confession. It's not antiquated. It's contemporary. It confesses the beautiful gospel of Christ in such a multifaceted and gripping way that this Jesus Christ is real. The New Testament is vividly real. This Christ shed his own divine blood on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. people, especially young people today, are absolutely cursed by bad consciences. Our society says be totally sexually active. And people who know the law written on their hearts know that this way of living is not right. And it burdens their consciences. Many of them stay away from church because conscience is our burden. For God's sake, let's preach the gospel today. The Lord says in the last times it's going to get worse, not better. We have a beautiful message for people, and it's so wonderful to see you, see the people and the pastors of the Missouri Synod share it. Todd, you're coming across the airwaves in the last number of years with such clarity on the issues, such clarity about who Jesus is, and to meet people, even in this audience, who ended up coming to Lutheranism because of this show. We have people like that throughout the churches of the Missouri Synod. My church, we have loads of people that are coming in because of the message we bear. Now, we have challenges in many places. We have huge demographic difficulties. We have trouble in the cities. We got challenges in the country, etc. But it's not because of our confession. It's not because of the clear word of God. It's because we live in a very challenging time. And it has always been that way for the church, if you read the Fathers. And see my book of the Fathers of the Missouri Synod. It's just loaded. In the first convention of the Missouri Synod, Walther said in his report, "Ach Gott, oh God, we're about to drown. We got so many problems. We got a pastor we had to get rid of because of his unethical lifestyle. We got another pastor who we had to kick out because he was forcing Roman Catholic practices in his parish." You know, go right down the line. This is a moment for us joyously to be who we are, for Pete's sake. The gospel is a beautiful thing.
When you were first elected back in 2010, I gave you unsolicited advice. I think you might have taken it to heart. I don't know. I said that when synodical presidents have been at their best, they have been teachers of the church. And I said, if all you do for your time as a synodical president is to teach us what we believe, teach, and confess, regardless of whatever else happens, you will have done your job. Do you think that you have taken my advice to teach?
Well, sometimes I have doubts and guilt about that. The things you have to worry about, financial well-being, you know, the whole mission front, everything else, it just takes in a huge amount of time and energy. But thanks be to God, I've done what I could. I try to continue to write and publish, collect. We've got another theme volume coming out from CPH on two kingdoms, some of the best documents in the history of Lutheranism on the two kingdoms doctrine. We've got some other things that are going on here and there. And
can you tell me how you have time to write books?
Obsessive compulsive disorder. It really takes focus, and it takes staff helping to block out some time. My life is just like any pastor's life here, any church worker here. It's a prioritization of time. It's trying to schedule your time appropriately. It's trying to get enough rest. Try to take care of yourself well enough so you're not depressed. And, limiting your alcohol intake, watching your diet a little bit, trying to exercise a little bit, which I don't do enough, and I need to do more. I worry about the church budget, just that our budget has a few more zeros than yours. So it's just about trying to balance things. And frankly, if I didn't read theology, I just find such joy in the Bible. My Greek Testament still to this day just thrills me. Every time I find out something new, that is a thrill.
So
I love Luther. Luther's inexhaustible. It's just a hoot to read him.
With about 30 seconds here, Matt, what can we do to help serve you as synodical president for the next 3 years?
Yeah, well, just do what you're doing. Let's be faithful to our public confession. Let's be zealous for our public confession. Who do men say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is a strong, vibrant biblical confession. The Apology, Article 4 of the Book of Concord says, Fides quae non confessit non est ferma. F- faith which doesn't confess is not firm. Let's confess who we are. Let's share the gospel with our neighbors. And I just ask for your prayers for stamina and the ability to carry out the tasks that are before us, just like you have in your life.
Pastor Matt Harrison is 13th president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He previously served as executive director of LCMS World Relief and Human Care and as a parish pastor in both Iowa and Indiana. He's author of several books, including his latest, Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran? You can find out more about this book at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Click On Demand Archives. Matt, thank you very much for being our guest.
It's always a pleasure. Thanks, Todd. Lord be with you.
On the other side of the break, we'll be talking evangelism with Pastor Robert Zagore, Executive Director of LCMS Office of National Mission. Then we'll spend some time with Mark Stern, a convention voting delegate and secretary of a floor committee on universities and an attorney in Chicago. He'll kind of bring us up to speed as to what has happened so far at the 67th Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod here in Tampa, Florida, and what is likely to happen over the next couple days. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.